We're learning a Maimer in Hasidic discourse by the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe of Chabad. We learned the first two paragraphs, so to speak. And let's make a very short summary. The Maimer, the discourse, is based on a verse from Lamentations, Eicha Yesh Bavadad, Yerushalayim, after the destruction of the temple, was completely destroyed alone, so to speak. Like a woman that is alone because the husband just left. And the Rebbe brings a Midrash. The Midrash compares the destruction of Yerushalayim to the sin of the first man. When he ate from the fruit, etc., etc., he was thrown out of Gan Eden, of paradise, and sent out. We're going to learn what is this later. I don't know if today, but later we're going to learn this. And the same way, the Jewish people, when they sinned, because they didn't take care of the Torah, mitzvahs, etc., they were thrown out of Eretz Israel and sent out into Golus, into exile. And the Midrash itself compares these two things. The first part, I mean, the next paragraph, the first part of the Maimer, explains this comparison and tells us why, even from a mystical perspective, they are the same thing. First man being thrown out, Jewish people being thrown out. It's actually the same thing. We're going to say this in a minute. In between, because the Rebbe is quoting the Midrash says something like place with the word Eicha. And you find this word in many places, in many situations. The first one, not chronologically speaking, but the first one is our Maimer Eicha in Lamentations. How she's sitting alone, etc., etc., talking about Yerushalayim. The second one that the Midrash quotes and the Maimer brings is Eicha Esalevadi. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, how can I carry on with these people? There are too many and too many problems, and they ask too many questions. I can't answer everything. This is what Moshe is saying. Now, the Midrash says that God tells the Jewish people, if we would have behaved properly, instead of reading Lamentations, Eicha Yesh Bavadan, how is she sitting alone? We would be reading what Moshe said. How can I carry along with this? This is what the Midrash says. However, the Rebbe himself asks, I don't understand what's the good part of it. Like, why is it good to read, how can I deal with these people? I can't anymore. Doesn't sound like a nice phrase, but Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rebbe himself asks this. Why is God saying, oh, don't read Lamentations of Irmiyahu. Read the Lamentations of Moshe. Why is it better? Both are lamentating something. This is something that the Rebbe himself asks. Then, the second paragraph, the Rebbe brings like the mystical part of it. And without going into the whole detail again of the mystical things that really, really are not the main thing of the discourse, the explanation is like this. We find a verse in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, where she, so to speak, says to him, whatever that means, that don't look at me, because I'm all like burnt out. This is what she says. And then she continues saying that the children of my mother, that means my brothers, they're angry at me. Because I didn't take care of the things that I was supposed to take care of, like Torah, mitzvahs, etc. This is what she says. And the Zohar, the Rebbe brings the Zohar, asking why is the word burnt out said in the verse in such a weird way. It says Shechar Choyres. It shouldn't have said Shechar Choyres. It means like repetition of Shachor, which means black. Why is she saying I'm like, as if she was saying I'm twice black? What do you mean? If you're black, you're already black. What's the problem? No, I'm two times black. What do you mean two times black? What does that mean? So this is what the Rebbe asks, because the Zohar asks this, and the Zohar says, look, there are two types of being black. It's not just black, like that. Two types. What are the two types? Either you're black because the light removed from you, it went somewhere else, therefore you're black, like dark, whatever. We're not talking about like skin color. That's not the issue over here. Like you're dark because there's no light. Oh, okay, light went out, darkness. Or another possibility is that you're dark because you went into a dark place. And now, because the verse is saying like twice black, two times black, both things are true at the same time. the light went away, whatever that means, we're going to explain in a minute, the light went away, and you went really in a black place. So you're twice black, two times black. What does that mean that the light went away? The Rebbe brings Kabbalah, Zohar, whatever, the idea behind it, it's very simple. It's like, the example is speech. When a person wants to talk, first you have to think, what are you going to say? And then you have to talk. And you're going to convey whatever you're thinking, and you're going to say what you're thinking. That's fine. But what happens when you don't think? Like when you, quote unquote, you don't have any head. Forget it. So you don't have anything to say. I'm sorry, I'm silent, because I don't know. I can't talk, for whatever reason. If you ask me to give a class on quantum physics, I'm sorry, I'm going to just to shut up. I'm not going to say a word. I don't know. This is what's going on, the first issue of being dark. We said two times dark, so the first one is because the light went away. And again, the Rebbe went into all the mystical meaning of this, Zoh and Malchus, whatever that means. The point is that there's no intellect shining into the words, and therefore words are silent. This is the first part. The second part is you actually went down into a dark place, and you're not having a nice time where you are, and that's why you're dark. That, like, it's the second time dark. What does that mean to go down in a dark place? It means to be mixed up into the 70 nations. That's what the Rebbe is saying, quoting actually the Zohar and the Alter Rebbe. Like, this is based on previous discourses also. And the Alter Rebbe says exactly this. What does that mean that the children of my mother, they're angry at me, or they're like bothering me, or whatever the case is? That means that the Jewish people were sent out into the nations. You have Jews living in Argentina, you have Jews living in all kinds of places in the world. What do you mean? Jews belong to Eretz Israel. No. They're all spread out into the world. That's what it means, the second time dark. Second time dark. First time is we don't see God, even if we are in Eretz Israel. We don't see him. He went away, so we're dark. We're asking, where is he? We don't see him. And the second time dark, you're out actually from your place. You're really far. That's the point of the first chapter and the second chapter. Now, this is going to be connected later. I'm just saying this now because I think it's going to add to the understanding of where is the Rebbe going. This is going to be connected to the wording of the Midrash. The Midrash says that the first man, and also the Jewish people, because they're compared, first man was thrown out and sent out. Two words, like, they seem the same thing. Like, you're thrown out because get out of here, you're sent out. No. It's two different things. It's like God removing himself from us, and also we're sent out into the world, into the nations, whatever, to be in the whole world. That's why two words are used, or two expressions are used for these two types of being dark. Okay, let's move on. In order to understand all of this, what does it really mean that we were thrown out, we were sent out, etc., etc.? What does that mean? Yesh lehakdim. First, we have to understand something else. The hine. Now, noida de nisava kadosh baruch hu liyos loy dira betachtoin. It's known, it's in the Midrash, that God wanted to have a dwelling place in this low world, lower worlds, whatever. He wanted to be here. Ve'ayinu, what does that mean? She'yegilu yelokus betachtoinim chule. It should be, God should be revealed in this world. Right now, he's not revealed. Mashiach is not here, and we don't see God. And if you're going to ask me, what should we see? I don't know, because I never saw him also. But the point is that the prophets themselves, they say, with our eyes we're going to see God, the flesh will see God, whatever that means. But we don't see God now. So we're in Golus, we're in exile. There's the point of the whole creation. Why did God do the creation? Because he wanted to be revealed down here. Why did God want? We don't know. We don't know. There are many things we don't know. We don't know. And actually, the Alter Rebbe, it's not over here, but the Alter Rebbe used to say, if a tiber is concussion, of If you desire something, you can't ask, why do you like it? Why do you want it? Because I want it. I like chocolate. Why do you want chocolate? Why do you like chocolate? Because I like it. I don't know. I like it. Don't ask why. I like it. The Rebbe over here brings like a deeper explanation to don't ask. Why don't ask? Because this is something that pertains to the essence of God. And the Leis Machshava Tvisa Beiklal, that no thought, this is Lashon of the Zohar, this is the wording of the Zohar, no thought can actually grasping. Nothing. So even if God would tell you why, we wouldn't understand it. But this we know. God wants. He said he wants. But this we know. We understand. He wants. Why? We don't know. And Rebbe, this particular discourse is like very, very short. And in very short words, he references so many things and so such deep things. So I'm just going to keep it as simple as possible. The Rebbe over here quotes a verse from Shir HaShirim that is explained in the Midrash, which is another source that shows that God wanted this world. He brought one source, the first, like the first line of the page. The source is from Midrash, Midrash Tanhuma. Okay, that's one source. And now he's going to bring another source, which basically says the same thing, but based on a different verse. What's the verse? Shoikav Amudei Sheish. She says to him in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, this old relationship between man and woman, she says to him, his legs are like columns of stone and so beautiful. That's what she says. Okay, V'amru Razal, our sages say, what is Shir HaShirim talking about? Shoikav means literally his legs. But this also is connected to the word teshuka, which means desire. It's the same source, the same root of the word. So shoikav, zeh oilam shenishtoikir kakadosh baruch ulibraisen. This refers to the world that God desired to create it, etc. So he brought two sources. Even why is he bringing two sources? I don't know. That's the truth. I don't know. But I can imagine that if you're going to ask me, does he really want? Where you got this from? Wait a second. I can bring you two independent sources, different sources that say the same thing. So this is true. I mean, this is Torah. This is what the Torah says. God wanted to create the world. Again, why? We don't know. But this we know, he wanted, he desired. The only difference between one midrash and the other one is that one midrash is talking in the word of nisava, like a taiva, like a passion. He wanted this, and the other one says ishtoikekus, which means also desire, but it's just two different words for the same idea. Why did he want it? Because in order to have a dwelling place in this world. If you see the two midrashim, like one of them only says that God wants, but it doesn't really say for what. What's the purpose? The second midrash, I mean, the first one quoted, says because he wants to be here, down here. That's the difference between the two midrashim. But they say basically the same. And this also happened in the beginning of creation. The ikar shechina betachtonim haya, aisa ad shiva silku chule. He's referring to another midrash. I'll translate first. The main place where the presence of God was found was in this world, until seven generations of bad people, of evil people, removed God from the earth, and then came seven generations to bring him back with Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not going to go into the whole thing. It's a huge midrash. The point is that God was here. He spoke with the first man, with the first woman, and we kicked him out. We threw him out. This is the reason, so to speak, why God created the world. He wanted to be here, and this is how it worked from the beginning. He was here. Behine, now. This idea that the Midrash also brings, that the main presence of God was down here. We have to say, we have to say that this refers to the infinite light of God that is beyond the worlds, etc. What is he saying? there's a, like, not a problem, I would say quote-unquote problem with this Midrash. The Midrash uses a weird word. What's the weird word? Ikar. Ikar means the main. That's what it means, main. But the problem, what's the problem? The regular word to talk about the presence of God is Shechina. Okay, the Shechina, the presence of God, very nice. So you could perfectly say that the presence of God was in this world. Shechina betachtonim ha'isa. Presence of God was in this world. And that's fine. Everybody would understand. But the Midrash brings another word and complicates everything. It says, Ikar Shechina. The main presence of God? What do you mean main presence? You have the presence and the main presence. What is the main presence of God? What does that mean? That's what the Rebbe says. What does that mean, the main presence? Oh, I'll explain to you. It refers specifically to one level of godliness, not just God. When you learn Judaism and you go deep, God just falls short. Like, what does that mean, God? What are you talking about? Okay, Ikar Shechina, the main presence of God. What's the main presence of God? That refers, says the Rebbe, to the light, the infinite light that is beyond the worlds. And he's going to explain. I'll do something I should not do, but I'll do it anywhere. Anyway, I'm going to explain outside, and then we're going to see it inside. It's going to be much easier. There are two words, two expressions, actually, very famous in Kabbalah and Hasidus. One is called Memale Kol Almin, how God fills the world. And the other one is called Soivev Kol Almin, how God goes, actually, is beyond the world, transcends the world. An example given to this is how the soul actually fills the body, and there's an expression of the soul in each part of the body according to what that part of the body can actually stand. For instance, in the eyes there's a strength to see, there's a koyach, the force to see, the power to see, in the ears to hear, in the mouth to talk, and so on. So each member of the body draws a specific energy from the soul, that energy that part of the body needs. Like, I cannot see with my feet, forget it, the feet are to walk, not to see, because the physical part of the foot and the eye are so different, you can't see with your foot, you can walk with your foot, okay, and so on. That's called Memale Kol Almin, that's called how God fills the world. But then you have Soivev Kol Almin, how God transcends the world. And the example given for this, in this connection of the soul with the body, is rotzen, will. The will is found in all the parts of the body in the same strength and at the same time. Like, if you want to move your arm, so you move your arm. If you want to move your leg, you move your leg. It doesn't depend on what kind of member we're talking about. Rather, it's found everywhere at the same time and with the same strength. That's the difference between how God fills the world. He's found in every single part of the world according to what the world can actually take from God, like in the higher worlds and the angels, whatever, God is more revealed. And in this world, it's completely concealed. We don't see him. Why? Because if we would see him, we couldn't stand it. It would be so overwhelming, it's impossible to live with that. There's a story by Rav Zusha Danipoili. Rav Zusha Danipoili once asked, he was a student of the Maggid of Mezrich, the second Hasidic master after the Baal Shem Tov, and one time he asked God, I want to feel the fear that the angels feel. The Malachim, I want to feel how it works. How does it feel? How does it feel? God conceded, he gave it to him, and he was so afraid the whole time, he was all the time under his bed. He couldn't move. It was so overwhelming, so powerful, he couldn't function. So he asked God, take this out of me because it's too much. It's not for me. I can't deal with this. Okay, I'll take it out. So God took it out. The story, besides the humor behind the story, because the rabbi is under the bed, whatever, but the story shows the idea that each part of the world has the energy from God that part of the world can actually function with, needs to function. Not more, not less. That's Memale Kol Almin. That's how God fills the world. But those two things are part, actually, the word part is not the proper one, but just to make it quicker, are part of the soul, are expressions of the soul. Like, for instance, to watch, to see, to talk, to hear, whatever, that's an expression of the soul. To want, pratsoin, is also an expression of the soul. It's a deeper one and a different one, but it's actually expression of the soul. Yeah. One is, feels the body, and the other one transcends the body. It's in the body, in all the body at the same time. Yeah. These are two, like, famous classic expressions in Kabbalah, Hasidus, very classic. Now, we're in the second line of the fourth paragraph. So now the Rebbe is going to explain what I just said, but in different words. Remale kol almin, sove kol almin, all this whole thing. The light of God that is invested in the world. This is memale kol almin, it's within the world. Hainu, that means the light of the chain of worlds and the chain of levels that go down from God until us, etc. You cannot say that this is the main place where this is found is down here. Doesn't make any sense. And it's going to explain very easy to understand. Because comes down, this energy of God comes down in an orderly way, level after level, umeir begilu yoiser lemaila, and it's more revealed up in the upper worlds. Vehol mashenim shachu mishtalshel misumayet ha'or chulei, and all the time that projects itself and goes down, you have less light. If you take a human being, regular human being, in the face, you can see so many things about this person. Is it smart? Is it good? Is he happy? Sad? Whatever. In the feet, you don't see anything. Could be even dead, and you don't realize. Because you're only seeing the feet. I don't know. They look the same. Dead body and live body. In the face, you see right away, this guy is alive, this guy is not alive. But in the feet, you don't see. You don't see that. So that's what he's saying exactly here. Where can you say that you see the main thing of a person in the face? That's the main thing. Look at the face and it's going to tell you what's going on with this person, not in the feet. The same thing happens with God. Where can you say that he's more revealed? Well, not in this world, forget it, we don't see him. In the upper worlds, in the spiritual worlds, or whatever they are. That's why he's saying, if you're asking me where is God found, like where can you see him, forget it, not down here. So don't come to me and say, Ikar Shechina betachtoin, the main revelation of the presence of God is down here. What do you mean down here? It's not down here. So he's probably talking about something else. Not what we regularly would say, the presence of God. In other words, I'm trying to find an example, but it's not so easy. Because it's something like very abstract. The idea is like this. When you receive a friend of yours, or whatever, a person, another person, you see that person, you can talk to the person, you can understand the person, you can say, he's found over here. He's in front of me, and I'm talking to him. But if you cannot see this person, you cannot talk to the person, you cannot connect to the person, you could perfectly say, this person is not here. Even if the body is over here, but he's not talking to me. I have no connection to him. I can't, actually, that Rebbe brings I just remember a very interesting example of what Yom Kippur means. Al Rebbe says, in Yom Kippur you have to do tshuva, the Day of Atonement, blah, blah, blah. Very nice. What does it mean to do tshuva? And the Al Rebbe says like this. Imagine two people, two guys. They're very close one to each other, but they back to back. They're not seeing each other. One is seeing this way and the other one is seeing that way. So they actually, even though they're very close, they're so far. So far. One of them is not even conscious of the other one. I'm just looking this way, and I don't see anybody. I'm alone in the world. Yeah, but you have a guy right there. Your friend is over there, and you don't see him. So the Alter Rebbe explains, Yom Kippur means that God is looking to one side, you're looking to another side, turn around and go back to be face to face. That's what Tshuva means. Go back to God. It doesn't mean that you're really far. What do you mean? Nothing is far from God. God is everywhere. So you're just looking somewhere else. That's the problem. You're not actually... Okay, so the same thing happens over here. If you want to tell me where's the main place where God can be grasped, understood, found, and talked to, and connected to, it's not in this world. Forget it. No, no, no. It's in the upper worlds. The angels talk to God and understand God, etc., etc. Okay, Maimar, like our sages say, Nata yaminu barashamayim, God extended his right hand and he created the heavens. Nata smalu bararetz, and he extended his left hand and he created the earth. That means the right usually is connected to revelation, to giving, and the left to restriction. Harei, now we understand, the lemata ein agilu kemo lemaila. Down here, the revelation of God, what we can understand from him, is nothing compared to how he's revealed up there. You look at the feet, and they're not even close to the head and to the face. Not even close. Uvemes, in truth, beagilu im shal pi sedri shtal shelus, hayakoy demached lemata gilu yor. The truth is, says the Rebbe, he's going to go back and forth, and at the end he's going to say, whatever the case is, so he's not going to really analyze this. Let's read it because it's interesting. Really, in truth, if you're going to talk to me about Giluim, about revelations of God, how the revelation comes down into this earth, before the sin of man, there was a revelation of light down here. Really, God was revealed down here. However, this revelation was according to an order. There was a level of revelation. It was not the main revelation of God. There was a revelation, it's true, but it's not the main thing. Up there in the spiritual worlds, there was more revelation. But down here, there was also revelation, but not so deep. Not so deep. On this, our sages said, on the verse that talks about these are the chronicles of men, etc., etc., the world was created complete, etc. What does it mean, complete? That even in this low world, there was a revelation of God. Yeah, but it was not the main revelation. We're trying to understand what that means, Ikar Shechina, like the main revelation of the Shechina. What does that mean? Okay, there was a revelation down here, but it was not the main revelation. Parentheses. And also you could say, because it is in parentheses, it's clear that the Rebbe is just saying, maybe there's another explanation, I'm not going to go into it. That's why it's in parentheses. The Rebbe is saying this, not that I'm saying this. And the Rebbe brings, look, maybe you could say, what does that mean that the world was created complete? That the world was prepared for a revelation of God. But not that the revelation of God was down here. Maybe you could say that. He closes parentheses and let's move on. Like, I'm not going to go into that. The Rebbe continues, Aval Mashe Ombru. However, when the Midrash says, our sages say, Ikar Shechina Betachtoini Maya, the main revelation of God was down here. Oh, what do I mean main? We just explained that the main revelation of God is not down here. Maybe there's some revelation, but not the main. But the Midrash says the main revelation was here. What are they talking about? That means a revelation that goes beyond a chain of worlds and levels. The level of the infinite light of God that transcends the world. That's why I chose to explain this on the outside before, and then we're going into the text. Means revelation up in the spiritual worlds, concealment down here. Ah, you have some kind of revelation down here? Yeah, very nice, but the main revelation is up there. Soidev Kolalmin works completely different. Same revelation is up and down at the same time, like Rotzen, like the will in the soul with its connection to the body. Now, he's entering into what he really wants to say. Only now, after learning so much. How do you reveal this light that is found down here, just like up there? How do you reveal it? How do you see it? It's projected through avoida. Avoida means to work. Work, our work in Torah, in mitzvah, etc. And he's going to explain this at length. On this, it's written, on this work that man is supposed to be doing, vayanicheyu began Eden le'avdo le'shamra. God left the man, put the man, better said, put the man in Gan Eden, in the paradise, to work on it and to take care of it. Why two words? What does that mean, to work and to take care? Our sages say, le'avdo, to work, this paradise, this place, is 248 positive commandments. Go and do them. Le'shamra, to take care of it, 365 mitzvahs lo'isase, prohibited or negative commandments. Don't do this, don't do that. De'hainu. That means le'amshich bechinas gilu yoren seif lamata, that it should be, the work of man is in order that it should be a revelation of the infinite light of God down here. Okay, so now this whole paragraph is just like a parenthesis. It's not the main thing of the discourse, because he wants to explain like a very technical thing. What does it mean, the main revelation? It's not the main thing of the discourse, but it gives room, the Rebbe brings it, in order to go to the next step. Avoida. What does it mean, avoida? What does it mean to work in the Gan Eden? What happened in the Gan Eden that you had to work on it? God was already revealed. So what's the work? He's going to explain this now. The idea is like this, this whole thing of working. It's known that in paradise, Gan Eden, there are two levels of Gan Eden. It's not just like that, Gan Eden, paradise. No, no. Gan Eden be'etzem, the thing itself, the essence of Gan Eden, paradise. Ve'atoisefes oirois shenim shachal yedei avoidasam nagan, avoidas agan. And the additional light that is brought down through working in this paradise, this garden or whatever. He's going to explain. Ukemo yagan shemashbichi mais alidei avoida. He brings a very simple explanation, like a garden that you make it better through working the garden. You can just leave the plants to by themselves and the plants are going to grow. Some flower of here, some flower of there. But if you really work the place, oh, it's full of flowers. Because you worked on it. The Gan Eden be'etzem, in Gan Eden by itself, ksiv, it's written, va'ita Hashem Elokim, Shem Mole, God, the Lord, Hashem, Avaye, Shem Avaye, the name of four letters, Elokim, etc., planted Gan Eden. That means the Torah is using both names of God, which means like a complete thing. Wow, wow, God really took care of this. Ve'ainu gilu Shem Avaye, Shem Meir be'Gan Eden. There was a revelation of this name of God, Avaye, whatever, four letters, that illuminated in the whole paradise. Right. Umikol makim, however, even so, ubechinas ha'oir de'sedrishtal shenus chule. This is just the light that God decided that it should be revealed in Gan Eden. Like, it is, it's not the same, but it is as if somebody gives you a job, and it tells you like this, look, you're going to make, whatever, $10 a month. But if you work hard, you're going to make much more. So $10 you're going to make. Forget it, that's fine. But if you work more, you're going to get more. So God planted Gan Eden and said, look, there's going to be a revelation of my name over here. But if you really work, oh, you're going to see much more. That's Gan Eden be'etzem, that's like the paradise. God planted it, decided this is going to have such and such amount of revelation of God. Now, it's known that the difference between Gan Eden, paradise, and the worlds, like the spiritual worlds, is in two aspects, two ideas. Aleph, the first one, they are oira mislavish be'oilamois, ubechinas zain tachtoinois. I'm going to explain this in a minute. Etc. Whatever that means. What is the Rebbe talking about? Okay. This idea of Zayin Tachtoines, seven lower levels, and Gimel Rishoines, the three upper levels, it's like, not the same, but it's like the difference between intellect and emotions. Intellect is three levels, Chokhmah Bina Das, which really doesn't matter what they are, whatever, three levels. And Zayin Tachtoines means the seven emotional levels. And it's like the difference between, again, intellect and emotions. They work really different. for different reasons, which right now doesn't matter. But the point is that Gan Eden, there's a revelation of the intellect of God, quote unquote. And in the worlds, there's a revelation of the emotions of God, quote unquote. Whatever that means. That's the first difference between Gan Eden and the rest of the worlds. The base is like the head and the rest of the body. It's exactly the same. In the head, again, you see the person, you understand what the person is, etc., etc. And in the rest of the body, you just see whatever, stomach working, and intestine, whatever. The base, the second difference, the be'oil amoiz rak yediyas ametzius. In the worlds, whatever creature is found over there, angels or whatever they are, they just know God because of his consequences, so to speak, because of his works, because of his peules, how do you say, his actions. The reality is God is over here. Ube Gan Eden, gilu yamaus. In Gan Eden, there's a revelation of the essence of God. The Rebbe brings in parentheses. I'm going to read very quickly because it's really not important. There's another place in the discourses of the Alter Rebbe and the notes over there. There, I learned that this is what the essence of Gan Eden means. Now, one thing depends on the other as it's written somewhere else. Point. What is the Rebbe saying? There are two types of knowledge. There's the knowledge that is called Yediyas HaMetziyus. Yediyas HaMetziyus means I know for a fact that this is in such and such way. But do I understand the essence of the thing? No. I just know for a fact that this is the way it is. For instance, Kabbalah talks about spiritual worlds. Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, I don't know all the names that Kabbalah talks about. Do we really understand it? We can talk about this for hours. Do we really understand what it is? No. We know that this is the way it is, but we don't understand. However, if somebody tells you, did you ever see a cow? Yeah, I saw cows. Can you imagine a cow? Yeah, a cow, it's this big and this color and does and makes a noise and there's a smell. Yeah, I can imagine. That's the idea of a mouse. You really understand what a cow is because you saw it. You can even like touch it. Yeah, it's hot, you know, it's a cow. Yeah, okay. That's the difference between knowing something because that's the way it is, but you really don't know the essence of the thing, or knowing the essence of the thing. Okay, so in Gan Eden, again, two differences between Gan Eden and the rest of the worlds. First difference, the Rebbe said, in Gan Eden shines the intellect of God, in the rest of the worlds shine the emotions of God. And the second difference is, in the rest of the world, God is found. Yes, that's true, but nobody really understands him. It's just, they know that this is the way it is. And in Gan Eden, you can really understand God. Whatever that means. You can really understand God. And the Rebbe says, in the last thing that we learned, which is a very short line, very complex line, Habe Hatalia, one thing depends on the other, etc., says the Rebbe. Go think about it. It's written somewhere else. It's explained somewhere else. What does that mean? Because in Gan Eden, there's a revelation of the intellect of God, therefore, you can really understand him, his essence, Mahus. And because in the worlds the only thing revealed is the emotions of God, therefore you can only know that it is that way, but you don't understand it. It's basically the same thing as the comparison between emotions and intellect. When intellect understands something, it's the thing. It's really, that's the way it is. Because we really understand it and grasp it. But when emotions dictate something, it's not really that you understand it. You don't understand it. You feel it and you can enjoy it, but do you really understand it? No, I don't care either. I like chocolate, that's it, because I like it. I enjoy it. Do you understand what chocolate is? The chemicals, but no, I don't understand it. I don't care. I just want to eat. That's it. That's emotions. That's not the intellect. Intellect would ask, wait a second, how much cacao that is have? How much sugar it has? And what's the color, and what's the taste, and what's the chemical? No, okay, it's a whole thing, and you really understand what you're eating. That's the difference between emotions and intellect, between Gan Eden and the rest of the world. The kol zeh, all of this, It's just how God feels the world. Either intellect, emotions, any levels, and okay, all kinds of things, but this is just how God feels the world. Ubemakom acher mevuar, in a different place, in Chassidus is explained, the Gan Eden be'etzem u'gam ken rak b'chinas yediyas ha'metziyu. The Rebbe is going like one step further, deeper. In another place is explained that the essence of Gan Eden also is just knowing the facts, but not understanding. Yediyas ha'metziyus. Like that which we said, that the worlds only say, yeah, that's the way it is, we don't understand. The Rebbe now moved, so to speak, the focus one level up. Even Gan Eden is just, yeah, that's the way it is. God, forget it. I don't understand it. Ela shuv madriga elyona be'olam, but it's in a very deeper way, in a very higher way, much higher way than in the worlds. The way we assume God in Gan Eden is much deeper than the way we assume God in the rest of the world. But again, this is not like the main thing of the Maimon. So don't worry. And because Gan Eden is in the world that is called Bria, which means creation, and there in the Gan Eden, there's a shining of two levels that I call Chochma, wisdom, and Bina, understanding of the world of Bria, whatever that means, forget it, intellect, God's intellect, Belikutei Torah, this is found in such and such place, etc. The Sham Rak Yediyas HaMetzius. In that place, in that holy level, which is called wisdom of God, even that level only understands that God exists. Do you really know what God is? No. No. I just can assume that He is. That's all. Okay, Maimar. It's like, maybe it has to be more like worked on. But the basic idea is, when you see something, you don't have any doubts. I saw it. I'm not talking about magics or whatever. I'm talking about like the real thing. You will go out in the street and you see, I don't know, a person walking over there. I saw him walking there. You can't fool me. He was there. I saw him. I said hello. He said hello. He answered me. That's it. He was there. Why? I don't know, but he was there. That's re'iya. That's vision. That's chokhmah. Do you understand the person walking over there? No. I saw him. When you hear something, maybe somebody can fool you. Somebody told you that this guy was walking over there. Yeah, but maybe yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I didn't see it. That's the difference between, basically, the difference between Gan Eden. In Gan Eden, so to speak, quote unquote, they see God. So he's there. No doubts. In the world, we hear about God. And you can have doubts. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Okay, Maimar, like the Torah says, Adam, because no person ever saw me, and no living creature ever saw me, says God. And our sages say on this verse, Afilu chayes hakodesh, even the angels, that's the part of the verse that says chay. Adam means human beings. Chai means the angels that are called chayois, animals, holy animals. Even they cannot understand me, says God. Ukimoken, hu gam Gan Eden. Same thing happens in Gan Eden. They see God, but they cannot understand him. Chule, etc. Gam shachas atzilus afilu shebebiya wal yedei avoy dedavke. Now, I'm going to translate this as it is over here, and bear with me, I'll explain. The projection of Atzilus, of emanations, even in the world of Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya, creation, formation, and action, that's through working precisely. What is he saying? What's the difference between Atzilus and the rest of the worlds? Atzilus means really emanations. That's the translation of the word. What does that mean? If we could be standing, so to speak, it's impossible, whatever. If we would be standing in Atzilus, we would not perceive ourselves, we would just perceive God. We wouldn't even think about ourselves perceiving God. Forget it, just God, nothing else. In the rest of the worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, Yasiya, we perceive ourselves understanding God. But I'm here watching God, looking at God, whatever that means. In other words, the revelation of God that is found in Silus is much deeper than the revelation of God that is found in the rest of the worlds, Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, whatever they mean. It's just a question of revelation. How much revealed is God? That's what he's saying. The Rebbe is saying, he's trying to explain what avoda is. What does it mean to work? If you really want to reach a level where you can perceive God, that's through work. Forget it. It's not going to be automatic. You're going to have to work on yourself. What's the work? Okay, he's going to say later, fulfill the commandments and refine yourself. Okay, very nice. But the point here, what he's trying to bring out is, you're going to have to work. In any case, I don't really care if Gan Eden means the intellect, or maybe Gan Eden is the emotion. However you want to understand it, Gan Eden mitzadatzmo v'chinas malek olam. At the end of the day, Gan Eden, paradise, by itself, is just how God fills the world. That's it. And through work, you can project into the world how God transcends the world, which is much higher, much holier, whatever, than how God fills the world. It's like the difference, what we brought before, between the inner strength of the soul within the body, in the eyes to see, in the ears to hear, and so on, compared to Ratzon, will, which is found in the whole in the whole body at the same time. Vezehu inyan, this is what it means, vayanichlo beGan Eden, that God left man, put man in the Gan Eden. Liyois sham avidase, for him to work there. I'll explain. Aleidezeh, through this, himshich b'chinas ikor shchina lemata. Through this, the man projected the main revelation of God down here, chulei, etc. What is he saying? This whole two paragraphs that we just learned, what does that mean, ikar shechina? What does that mean, the main presence of God? Means how God transcends the world. How is it brought down? By being in Gan Eden. I know we are not in Gan Eden. At least Argentina is not Gan Eden. But he's like building an idea. Man was sent out, thrown out of Gan Eden. But at the first time, he was put in Gan Eden. So what was he supposed to be doing over there? To work. What do I mean to work? He didn't have to do anything. He had food, he had everything, was fine. What's the work? The work was to project the main presence of God. What does that mean, the main presence of God? God created the world in Gan Eden that it should have, by default, an amount of revelation of God. This is what you're going to get, but if you work, you're going to get more. You're going to get more. What is this more? How God transcends the world. By default, you get how God fills the world. And you see this, and you enjoy this, and it's very nice. But if you work, you're going to get how God transcends the world. It's really beyond the world. But that's only through work. You're not going to get it by default. This is what the Rebbe said. So now we understand, if I had to summarize like what we learned, we understand a few things. First of all, why did God create the world? Because he wanted to live down here. He desired this. Why did he desire this? We don't know. We don't understand. But this is what he wants. This is what he let us know that he wants. Okay, fine. Now, where does God want to be? We just said, down here. Was he ever down here? Yeah, you know, when God created the world, he was down here. And not just some expression of God. Forget it. His main presence was down here. What do you mean main presence? Oh, okay. God created the world with a certain amount of revelation in quality and quantity of his presence. And he gave man the possibility of revelating something even deeper through avoda, through working. What's this deeper thing? Soivev kolachim, how God transcends the world. But you're going to have to work for that. That's not default. This is what we learned. And the Rebbe went back and forth. What's really Gan Eden? Oh, in the intellect of God, the emotions of God. Okay, very nice. But the point is, Gan Eden has a certain amount of revelation, and you're supposed to get more. Go work. That's why God put man in Gan Eden.